You're listening to the ISOCA podcast. In today's Knowledge Series podcast, we're speaking with Steve Ross, author of the ISOCA Journal's Information Security Matters column. In today's episode of the podcast, we're discussing his Volume 2 column, What is Information Security Worth? We'll be talking about how information security professionals can share with their enterprise the value that they bring. But to begin, Steve, can you talk a little bit about why we should ask the worth of information security?
Well, I think there's two reasons that I can pick out. Number one is that the idea that if we just spend more money on security, we're going to get better security doesn't necessarily play out. In fact, it can be dangerous. Dangerous in the sense that if the underlying culture and commitment to security isn't really there, throwing more money at the problem isn't going to solve it. And so you have a false sense of security. The other is that understanding that concept of the worth of security puts security in a place that it can be evaluated against the value of other functions within an organization, like sales and market share and other strategic elements. Just by saying that out loud makes security a strategic element of the corporation or the government agency. And I think that's very important for consideration to be given to.
And so how can security employees get their organizations to see that spending money does not necessarily equal solving the problem of information security in resolving incidents?
That's a monstrous topic. A few years ago, I wrote a book on the subject, so it's a little hard to answer in a few words. But I think that it's more a matter of the leadership of the organization, both senior management and the CISO and supporting staff, to be giving consideration to that, not so much that they'll know when they've spent enough, but to stop fighting the constant battle for budget and answering the question of where do we really need to spend the money? You know, you simply don't, as I say, become more secure because your budget was increased. Now, I also understand that the leadership of, I don't want to mention specific companies, of a very large investment bank are going to be spending more on security than a mom and pop grocery store. Obviously, you can't put them in the same lens. But the fact that one big investment bank is continuing to spend more and more doesn't necessitate another big investment bank doing the same just to keep up. There has to be a rationale behind the expenditure and therefore answering the question, well, what is security worth to you? How much is security worth? What is information security worth, to quote the title accurately, is the inverse of what is our risk appetite? How much are we willing to lose is the concomitant to how much am I willing to pay in order not to lose it? And I do spend a considerable time in the article talking about risk assessment as a means of evaluating worth. Ultimately, I think that the argument falls apart, but it has its merits. And I think if we had better techniques for risk assessment, it might be a stronger argument for using it as an evaluation of worth than it is right now.
So why might risk assessments not be the best method of finding the value of information security?
As I say, the biggest problem right now is that the techniques in use are just inadequate to the task. Almost everywhere you go, and in almost every standard you read, they tell you that risk equals the multiplication of impact times probability. I reject that whole notion. I did it for many years and never got satisfactory results. And then when the ISO, you know, the International Organization for Standards, finally came around with a standard for risk assessment, they said, well, actually, there's 31 different ways of doing a risk assessment, some of which I think are kind of foolish and some of which aren't applicable to information security, like, you know, toxicity analysis. Nobody gets killed by eating information security. The remainder, though, does tell you that there are lots of better ways to do things than what we're doing now. I teach a course often for ISOCA chapters on modern techniques for risk assessment. And the whole purpose of the course is just to present the attendees with the idea that there are alternatives, but those alternatives are not widely accepted. So what we get out of the risk assessments we are doing are subjective and ultimately don't prove anything. The second point is that sometimes risk assessment is inappropriate. And unfortunately, I think cyber attacks is one of those, in that when you multiply impact, which is high, and probability, which is low, number of events per year, the math betrays the importance of the impact. We don't do risk assessment for whether there's be a war. We're prepared for wars, whether we're going to have them or not. And I think it's a very apt analogy. The same thing can be said for cybersecurity. So that risk assessment ultimately breaks down. But the conceptually, if we had better tools and we were able to understand risk better than we do, I think it might work. But I don't think it stands up given current circumstances.
And why might qualitative methods be a pretty good way of defining the value of information security?
Well, because I think that trying to say that information security is worth $27,493.42 is just flat out foolish. As I said in the article, the precision is the enemy of accuracy. It's not how we deal with it. We can say things like the security is strong, the security is appropriate, the security is lacking in certain areas, all of which are qualitative statements that intellectually we understand. And quite frankly, when presented with competing claims for budget, that's how anybody would try to understand it. I've been through these battles myself over the years, and the question comes up, well, if we spend that money, what are we going to get? And you don't answer the question in terms of, well, we'll prevent $400,000 worth of cyber attacks. No, you say, well, we're going to be able to prevent this, that, and the other types of cyber attack. I am just suggesting here that there is a way of evaluating the worth of security that is better dealt with in qualitative terms. Nonetheless, the fact remains that there are ways that we can deal qualitatively with the rigor of mathematical formulas. And all I'm asking, without, as I say, understanding anything very much about what the mathematics is that we do approach qualitative assessment with intellectual rigor, if not mathematical rigor.
And can you tell us a little bit about how security professionals can use qualitative statements to prioritize information security within an organization?
Well, that was what I was referring to earlier in this conversation, that merely saying information security is very important by itself is a good thing, it's a statement, but almost everybody would come back with a question of, well, how important is very important? And then you'd say, well, compared with what? It's only meaningful in those terms. And within an organization that's trying to balance its priorities and balance its investments, there are other things: sales, cost reduction, market share, hiring, product development, marketing. Just go down the org chart. And as I said earlier in this conversation, what's I think important to that discussion is not so much where information security falls on that list. I don't know that anybody would say that information security is more important than sales. On the other hand, by merely being included on that list, it becomes understood as one of the strategic necessities of the enterprise. And that is really important.
And why shouldn't the value of a CISO be based on the number of breaches that an organization experiences?
Because that puts the burden of proof on the criminals. There are big targets. Again, I don't want to specify individual corporate names, but the military is an obvious target. Defense manufacturers are obvious targets. Big banks are obvious targets. And toy manufacturers are not. You are going to get fewer breaches in toy manufacturer than you are in megabank. So what does that say? The real question is, it's not something about the CISO, it's about the senior management to whom the CISO reports, is what is the risk appetite of the corporation or the government agency? And did whatever breaches occur fall within that? sad to say, but over the years, we've learned to live with garden variety hackers, a pain, but one that we clean up, like taking out the garbage. And then there's organized, targeted, direct attacks on individual companies or, again, government agencies. And that's what cyber attacks are all about and form a different level of concern. There is a real difference between saying, oh, we had 70,000 records stolen, but we still have the data, we're still operating, versus we've had our computer systems knocked down and we can't bring them up again, like a ransomware attack, where the company can no longer conduct business. That's, I think, something that has to be brought into the equation as well. And again, raises the question of worth. What's it worth to you not to have that happen?
So in another podcast on our channel, we discussed how a lot of enterprises that are breached don't see that much of an impact on their bottom line. So how can security professionals show their organization the impact of a breach, especially if their bottom line might not actually be affected much?
You have to read more deeply into that. If you go back 10 years, it may be closer to 15 now, cyber attacks did have direct impact on the bottom line. In fact, it would drive companies out of business. Today, when it's a fact of life for every organization that has a data center, it doesn't have the impact on the marketplace that it used to. It falls into the normal pattern of catastrophic attacks or catastrophic events. The fact is that companies that are nimble in responding to negative events show sensitivity to the people who are harmed, respond appropriately and quickly, not only don't see their share value go down continuously, it'll go down for a short while. Any bad news drives your share price down. But then it bounces right back up. Not only bounces right back up, but it often climbs higher than it did before because management was able to prove how good they are at managing important events. There are other organizations that don't have that kind of a jump, but at least in terms of information security events, particularly cyber attacks in this day and age, that has become less and less of a factor because, thanks to organizations like ISACA, for sure, people get it. I mean, people know that cyber attacks are a real threat and are taking action to respond to it. I don't know anybody anymore who says, nah, it's not going to happen here. Let's not bother. Maybe they exist. They just don't hire consultants, so I don't get to see them. To my knowledge, there's very few, if any, that take that posture.
And finally, how can security professionals measure and articulate their worth?
Well, let me generalize on that point. I think everybody should be able to do that for whatever job they do. I don't want an answer, Safia, but what value do you bring to your employer, ISACA? You should always be able to answer that question. And the fact that in information security, we have defined it as you sort of defined it in the question you asked a little while ago, the definition of security is the absence of breaches rather than the presence of appropriate and adequate protection, changes the equation and doesn't enable any employee to say, I've done any security employee to say, well, I've done a good job. We didn't have any breaches this year because tomorrow could be the day. And then that means you did a bad job. So I think everybody should be able to articulate the value that they bring. And if they can't, they've got a serious problem. They're just really a space holder. I'll finish this answer by a company I worked in many, many years ago. The board completely changed the management. President, vice president, you know, quite a few new management team coming in. And they went around and they asked each manager, what do you do? And anybody who couldn't answer was fired. So I think that's the challenge to information security professionals, no less than anyone else, is what's the value of what you do? And if you can't answer, you shouldn't be doing the work.
Thanks, Steve. And that's all we have time for in this episode of the podcast. But if you're interested in learning more, read Steve Ross's ISACA Journal Volume 2 column, What is Information Security Worth?